Certainly appreciate the prayer. I hope that you'll continue to be in prayer as I stand before you, that the Lord might bless us to look into His Word. We're here to worship the Lord, our Father in heaven, to adore our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight it's about Jesus, that we focus upon Him. We're not going to add anything tonight to His glory, but we trust that we'll lift His name up and that you will be edified and built up in the most holy faith. Appreciate this congregation. I appreciate the opportunity to be with all these ministers. I love them for Jesus' sake. They're my friends. I can call upon them and they help me through the struggles of life, help me to understand the Scriptures more fully. We help each other, and we should be helpers of one another as we travel along the journey of life, because we know that this world is a hostile place. It is a dangerous place. But we have a place in the house of God that is kept safe by the hand of the Lord. David said, "This one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Tonight I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Nowhere else do you behold the beauty of the Lord like you do in Zion. She is the highest ecclesiastical establishment in the world, because the Lord Jesus Christ established her in this world. He is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. I want to begin this evening in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians and verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." We all love the doctrine of grace, don't we? We all love to hear about what the Lord has done for us, how He loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness hath drawn us. He loved us with an everlasting love. When we look into the love of God, it is so high and deep and broad that we cannot fully comprehend everything about it. But God is love, and His love reached down to us even before the world began. There was a covenant that is called the everlasting covenant that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit entered into before that God created the universe. And it's because that God loved His people that they entered into this covenant. Now, this covenant was an arrangement that God arranged, that He purposed in Christ before the world began, that He designed when the Lord Jesus, His Son, would come into this world. Now Adam sinned and transgressed the law of God and plunged the whole human family into ruin and sin. And we could not extricate ourselves out of that. Human beings were ruined by Adam's transgression. We were all in the loins of Adam. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of one, many were made righteous. So there are two men. Adam, in his disobedience, we were made sinners. By the one man, Jesus Christ, by His obedience, many were made righteous. So it is that God designed, before the world began, to send His Son into this world to redeem a people that He loved, a people that was in His heart. This people that was in His heart was a particular people out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. The Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." God sent His only begotten Son into the world for the specific purpose to do that which God sent Him to do. Now, there's a lot of theories about why Jesus came into the world. There are those that say, well, Jesus came into the world to give everybody a chance for salvation. That He came into the world and He would offer His life upon the cross and die. But that it would be open to sinners, whosoever would accept Him to be saved for heaven. There's only one thing wrong with that. It's not right. But the fullness of the time was come. 4,000 years from Adam to Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven. How did He come down from heaven? How did the Son of God come down from heaven? He came down according to the specific work of God in the virgin's womb, Mary. The fullness of the time. Now, this was a time scheduled by God. Time had come. 4,000 years had come to pass. And now Jesus, the Son of God, was to come here into this world. God sent forth His Son. He was sent. God sent Him. And He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. And God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He came in a specific way. He was conceived in the virgin's womb by the Holy Ghost. And I want to turn over to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. Now, at the precise time, at the exact time, the Son of God came. We find here that the Lord sent a heavenly ambassador to Mary, who was chosen of God to bear the Lord Jesus, His Son. The angel of the Lord came to her. He was sent to her, and he says, "Thou hast found favor with God." Called her by name, "Mary, thou hast found favor with God." And he says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, Joseph was her husband, but Joseph had absolutely nothing to do with this conception. It was time that the Holy Spirit would conceive, that He would perform this great miracle in the womb of this Virgin Mary, who was of the house of David. And it was necessary that the woman that God chose be of the house of David, because God swore to David, He would not lie to David, that of his loins He would raise up a Savior, a Messiah. And so it was that she said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is how it's going to be. It says, the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, He was the Son of God before He came, but He would be called or declared the Son of God, this one that Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit in her virgin womb. He would be called the Son of God, this holy thing. He was holy, and therefore He took upon Himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And this union that came together in the womb of Mary, it was by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And He says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. That was a miracle, because she was past childbearing. But nothing is impossible with God. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, somewhere in between when she left home and on her journey to the city of Judah, to the hill country, I believe that the Holy Spirit came upon her and she conceived on her journey to the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth. You say, well, that's just speculation. Just hold a minute. All right. She entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. From whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? She says, you are the mother of my Lord. So somewhere on her journey, it was time. The fullness of the time had come. God sent forth His Son made of a woman. Now, His humanity was made of a woman. He was not a human before He came into this world. He was God, and that's a great mystery, that the Son of God in the bosom of God came into this world, and He assumed human nature without the sin. He was not tainted with sin. He had no sin in Him. He could not sin. He did no sin. He was not a sinner, but He came into this world to die for sinners. So it was that this salutation sounded in the ears of Elizabeth, and the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. I believe that this was not a natural leaping, but this was a supernatural leaping. That the Holy Spirit filled him, and there was joy in him. When she heard the salutation, this baby, 6 months old, leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Now, no preacher was there. There was not any soul winner there, but I'll tell you, Jesus was there in the womb of Mary, and I believe that the Holy Spirit, as it is written here, fell upon them, and she was made to rejoice in the mother of my Lord. She says, "You're the mother of the Lord," and therefore she was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ then. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You see, Mary needed a Savior, just like all of others of God's people. She needed a Savior. We do not believe in the Immaculate Conception, but we believe in the Miraculous Conception, don't we? We believe that it was a miracle. We believe that it was God manifest in the flesh. You know, the Apostle John said that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses. That is, God gave the law to Moses. The law was not given that people obey it so that they could enter into heaven. That could have never been. Because the law could not save anybody. But the law was given to manifest that sin was exceeding since Adam's transgression. And the law could not be fulfilled by human beings. But the law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Not that we would fulfill the law, but it would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And by the way, I believe that's a state of God's people. So it is that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. This is a mystery. And I don't know how to explain it. But I believe it. We believe this fundamental principle that Jesus came down from heaven in this way, in this manner, as God designed it, and God's the author of it, and the Holy Spirit carried it out. Jesus Christ, when He was here upon this earth, He was the expression of God the Father. In the 14th chapter, the Gospel according to John, you know, Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." That is, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. That is, God the Father in Jesus Christ dwelt in Him bodily. So it was that the Apostle Paul says, without controversy, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels. God was manifest in the flesh. Did you know that there are people that do not believe that Jesus is God? That is, there's religious groups that do not believe that Jesus is God. But Jesus said Himself that He came from the Father. Now, in order to come from the Father, you had to be with the Father. In order to come down from heaven, you had to be in heaven. In order to be in the bosom of the Father, you had to be with the Father. So He was the Word, wasn't He? The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, as He lived upon this earth, did everything that the Father gave Him to do. He did what God sent Him to do. What did God send Him to do? And that was to redeem them that were under the law. Did He redeem those under the law? Now, either He did or He didn't. I'll take the position that He did. Now, let them take the position that He tried to. Let them take the position that He wanted to. Let others take the position in Christendom that He did everything that He in His power to save, but He didn't get the job done. I got better news than that. I got a better report than that. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ declares that He did not make salvation available. He obtained eternal redemption. He saved His people from their sins. Now, that ought to make everybody happy here tonight. It ought to make us jump up and down for joy. I'll tell you what, we ought to get excited about what God has blessed us to understand and know. Are you excited tonight about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of your wonderful, blessed Savior? That He loved you, He gave Himself for you, He died for you. It was not a shot in the dark. He knew who He was dying for. They were engraven on the palms of His hands. They were written on His heart. He knew everyone individually. He knew us personally when He laid down His life. Because He loved us as individuals. I'm glad that I believe that God didn't just get a scoop, shovel, and scoop a bunch of people out of the human family. He knew us individually. He knew us personally. He knew us by name. He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. He gave His life for the sheep. Now, who are the sheep? The sheep are His people. Amen. When Jesus, in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John, you know, when He was preaching that wonderful sermon that He was the shepherd, and those Jews around Him, they said, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And He said, "I've told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me." He said, "You believe not because you are not of My sheep." Now that would have been a good time if He believed in free will. All you have to do is believe and the goats will become sheep. All you have to do is believe and you'll become a child of God. But that's not what He said. He said, "You believe not because you are not of My sheep." He says, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me. I give unto them eternal life." Did He offer eternal life? "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no man is able to pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." They are one in nature, in union, in power, in glory. Jesus Christ did not lose one. He will not lose one that He died for. He was sent to redeem us from the law. He raised us out from under the law of sin and death, judicially and legally. When did Jesus save His people upon the cross? Now, I know that His people have to be regenerated. I wasn't born yesterday. I know that we have to be quickened by the Spirit. And there's a particular time for that. I mean, that's on schedule too. Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross, dying for His people. He didn't come to make somebody His that were not in covenant. He came to save His people from their sins. Now, this is no chance system in this. This is on purpose. This is by design. And Jesus fulfilled that which God gave Him. Upon the cross, He uttered, "It is finished." If He says it is finished, it is finished. He didn't say, "Well, I've done my part, now the sinner's got to do his." No, it's finished. He completed eternal redemption upon the cross, and His shed blood covered our sins. The Apostle Peter says, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Our faith and hope is in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, of what He accomplished for us. Our believing in Him makes a difference here in our journey as God's people. It does make a difference what God's people believe. It does make a difference how they comprehend what is written in God's Word and how they see God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But so many of God's people, because of the false doctrine and the human element, that their vision has been blurred. And there's a lot of voices in this world, false doctrine all around us. Lord, I heard so much false doctrine coming down here on the radio. Goodness gracious. I said, "No, that's not right." I'd turn it over to another station. They'd come on. I said, "No, that's not right either." Aren't you glad that you know what's right? Aren't you thankful that the Lord blessing us to understand fully of what Christ accomplished for us upon the cross and in His resurrection. Give Him glory tonight. It's what this is all about, is giving Him glory and praise and honor and walking in this way and holding up the banner of the Lord Jesus. May God bless you with these thoughts, is my prayer.